Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Making promises can be a godly thing. God made the first promise. He promised that the grass and trees would reproduce after its own kind.
That's right.
Genesis 1:11. You go, baby.
Genesis 1:11 says, God said, let the earth bring forth grass and trees after their kind. And guess what? God kept his promise. In Genesis 1:12, God says, and the earth brought forth grasses and trees after his kind.
You know, God actually made 20,000 promises. In his word.
That'll keep you reading.
The greater parts are already fulfilled. Those that remain are being fulfilled.
Mm.
Now, the devil also makes promises.
Hmm.
This is how his first promise to mankind directly contradicts God's. God's promises that if man ate of the tree and of the forbidden fruit, that he would die.
But in Genesis 2:17 in the Classic Amplified says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Notice how Satan, you shall not surely die. He contradicts with God with his own promise, because he says in Genesis 3:4 in the Living Bible, that's a lie, the serpent hissed, you'll not die. When God asked why Adam and Eve disobeyed, Eve says she was deceived by a false promise. Genesis 3:13 in the Classic Amplified says, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled, cheated, outwitted, and deceived me, and I ate.
Notice, honey, that it was Eve's dependence upon a false promise that brought about the devil's purpose in Eden. False promises and lies come from the devil.
Because in John 8:44 in the Living Bible says, you love to do the evil things the devil does, for he is the father of lies. And contrary to this, promises that can be depended on come from God's spirit. As it says in John 14:16-17 in the Classic Amplified, John 14:16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you.
Unfulfilled promises never bring about God's will. Instead, they bring about Satan's will. I think it's important to notice God's warning to those who make promises and don't keep them. Ecclesiastes 5:1-7, Classic Amplified Bible. Keep your foot. Give your mind to what you're doing. When you go as Jacob to sacred Bethel, to the house of God, for to draw near to hear and obey is better than to give the sacrifice of fools, carelessly, irreverently, too ignorant to know that they're doing evil. Verse 2, be not rash with your mouth. And let not your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you're on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Verse 3. For a dream comes with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words. Verse 4. When you vow a vow or make a pledge to God, do not put off paying it. For God has no pleasure in fools. Those who witlessly mock him pay what you vow. Verse 5, it is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Verse 6, do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin. And do not say before the messenger, the priest, that it was an error or a mistake. Why should God be made angry at your voice? Destroy the works of your hands. And verse 7, for the multitude of dreams, there is futility and worthlessness and ruin in the flood of words. But reverently, fear God, revere and worship Him, knowing that He is.
Wow.
This stern warning comes to us not to hurt us, but to help us. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians that keeping their promises to God will bring them overflowing abundance.
2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 13, we often quote this or parts of it, often do. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 through 13 in the Living Bible, it says, I have asked these other brethren to arrive ahead of me to see that the gift you promised is on hand. Remember this, if you give little, you will get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will only get a small crop. But if he plants much, he will reap much. Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to, for cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. God is able to make it, the amount you promised, up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will be not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. It is as the scripture says, the godly man gives generously to the poor. His good deeds will be an honor to him forever. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant, and you will make it grow, and will make it grow. This is God doing it, so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Yes, God will give you so much that you can give away much. Those you help will be glad for this proof that your deeds are as good as your doctrine.
There's another verse of warning, honey, to those who would leave a promise made, unfulfilled. Deuteronomy 23:21, the Classic Amplified Bible. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not be slack in paying it. For the Lord your God will surely require of you, and slackness would be sin in you. Notice that an unfulfilled promise becomes sin in the person who fails to pay it.
Wow.
Know that fulfilling promises is very valuable to the believer. For those who do can confidently call upon God, call upon Him for help when trouble comes. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. Offering to God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. When we pay our vows, we can call upon Him, and He'll answer. However, we must keep our promises to the Lord. Psalm 116:14 in the New Living Translation. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all His people. You know, honey, unfortunately, we live in a society where promises don't hold the same value that they once did.
That's true.
There was a time where a man or a woman's word was their bond. It ruled our conversations as well as our actions. But sadly, that's no longer the case. Promises are easily made and quickly broken, with seemingly no regret or thought about the consequences.
In Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 through 7, Ecclesiastes 5, starting with verse 1, in the Living Bible, it says, don't be a fool who doesn't even realize it's sinful to make rash promises to God. So when you talk to God and vow to him that you will do something, don't delay in doing it. For God has no pleasure in fools. Keep your promise to him. It is far better not to say you'll do something than to say you will and not do it. In that case, your mouth is making you sin. Don't try to defend yourself by telling the messenger from God that it was all a mistake to make the vow. That would make God very angry, and he might destroy your prosperity. Dreaming instead of doing is foolishness, and there is ruin and a flood of empty words.
Wow.
Seven powerful thoughts stirred in us when we were reading those verses.
First, if you make rash promises to God, you're a fool, whether you realize it or not.
Second, if you delay in doing what you promised God, then you're a fool and God will take no pleasure in you.
Third, it's better to keep your mouth shut than to commit to something you're not going to do. Let me say that again. Third, it's better to keep your mouth shut than commit to something you're not going to do. Because it reflects on you, not only to God, but the people you tell you're going to do it.
Fourth, never allow the words coming out of your mouth to willingly lead you into sin.
Fifth, making excuses for your failure, for a failure to do what you say, well, it's just going to make God angry, and we've proved that in the scripture.
Sixth, your failure to follow through on what you say you're going to do will destroy your prosperity, according to the Word of God.
And seventh, only talking about your dreams instead of doing something about them is foolishness. Here's the third scripture in our progression. Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
There are so many promises, 20,000 promises.
Absolutely.
In the Lord.
Now, a lot of them are to fulfill.
Yeah.
But God wants us to be believing for unfulfilled promises to be fulfilled. That's what he wants. But in order to do that, we got to keep our word. We got to be focused on him.
There are a lot of promises says if you do this, you'll get that.
I like those verses.
That way you know exactly what to do in order to get the result.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Go to heraldherring.com. If you've been blessed with the teaching where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.